You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Today we're concluding our Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb series, and I want to bring it together with a message titled Love and Wrath. Love and Wrath. It's a hard word to say, wrath. Say that three times. Wrath, wrath, wrath. If you've heard me speak more than once before here at the church, or my wife, or some of the other people that have shared, you have noticed that there's a pattern in our messages, and the concept that how we share our messages comes really from a verse in the scripture where Jesus says that everybody who comes to me, hears my word, and does them, he will be like a house that's built on the rock. So we try to implement that in every single service. There is an invitation to come. Not only at the end of service do we invite you to have a relationship with God, but we invite you to come and worship him through music, to come and worship him through prayer. And then there's an aspect of hearing. We share messages that try to broaden your understanding, open your mind so you can receive the word of God, that it's applicable. And then there are practicals. I always try to share practicals with you. Alini does the same thing, because the word is not meant to stay on paper. It's meant to become alive in you. And the way that it does is by you doing what God actually puts in your heart to do. So let me encourage you to jot things down. You know, God will speak to you. Can I just encourage you with that? God will speak to you. He will give you an inspiration to do things, to take action in your life. And write it down and then follow through with it. We've had people here in our church who have had inspiration to a God direction, you know, to stop drinking. They didn't want to drink anymore. And they saw the fruit of that. Nobody asked them to do it. They just felt like it. And other people felt like not being in a relationship for a period of time. And that was for healing. And God just shared that inspiration with them, and they follow through and they're seeing the fruit of that. We've had ideas for businesses, people who decided to change their career. There was a guy that had an inspiration, God bless his heart, to wake up in the middle of the night every night to pray for a long period of time. God bless him, man. I love my pillow. I'm kidding. But, you know, God will give you inspirations like that. And these are not super spiritual people. They are everyday people like you and I. People that have just simply placed themselves in God's presence, and then when God prompts something, gives them an idea, and then they do it, right? Let me encourage you to do that if you haven't been doing that already. Now, this is a reminder, and it's deeply connected with what I'm about to share with you today. And you can truly understand the love of God and the wrath of God if you do those things. You know, it's hard for us to understand the love of God and the wrath of God if you don't have an active part. So that's the first thing we need to understand, is that in the life with God, as we read the scriptures, as we are part of a community, we are active participants. Let me hear you say that. I'm an active participant. That's right. See, you just did that. You are an active participant. We are all active participants in life, not only here, not only in your spiritual life, but in life. And let me tell you this, God has given you a brilliant mind. The machine that you have is fantastic. There's nothing like it on earth. There's nothing like your body, like your mind. In fact, they haven't been able to discover all that your brain can do. Your brain is powerful, and that in itself is an understatement. You have a powerful, powerful mind. But here's something that we do know about our minds and about our brains. We can only do one thing at a time. A human being, a person, can only do one thing at a time. And studies have been done on this, and they conclude that what we call multitasking is really a series of one things at a time that we do. Just back to back to back to back. You know, you do one thing over here and then you stop, and you do another thing over there and then you stop, and then you start a third thing over here, and then you go back to the first, and then you go to the second, the third. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2, 4, 6, 1. But it's just a series of one things at a time. Moms are great at that. In fact, the ladies, I think that they've evolved ahead of the men, right? Because that's right. Because my wife gets the kids dressed, fed, and ready for church, and I'm still tying my shoes. Well, how do you do it? The bunny goes around. You know? We can only do one thing at a time. Multitasking is really juggling. That's what it is. It's really fast juggling. Now, the reason this is important, the reason why it matters, the reason why it's worth some thinking, it's worth your thought that you can only do one thing at a time, is because the way we were designed, the way we were made, every single day, we're making decisions. We are constantly making decisions. You are constantly sorting out your options. What am I going to do next? What is the thing that's worth my attention next? What am I doing today from top to bottom? Think of any given day. Think just in any given day from the moment you wake up to the moment you leave the house. If you're an adult, it's all on you. If you're a student living with your parents, some of those decisions are made for you. But if you're an adult, every single moment is a moment where you have sorted things by order of importance. You're deciding what is going to be done first. You are deciding throughout the day what is important enough to deserve your action. We're constantly choosing what's important enough to deserve your engagement that day. Now, that's important. Why? Because you can only do one thing at a time. And that selection process is directly connected. It's central to godly living. And it's central also to your sense of satisfaction, your sense of happiness, your sense of purpose. It's directly connected to how you live your life and the fruit that you're going to receive from it. Now, let me show you how this connects to the gospel and how this is intertwined in the scriptures from the beginning. See, if you go to the book of Genesis, you see that when God spoke to Adam, this is what God told Adam in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, I talked about how the mythos and logos, right? How there are things in the scripture that we got to look at and see the application for us today. And in this scripture, from the beginning, what we see is that God has given us a choice. We have a choice. In the beginning, it was a choice between an abundance of good and one bad thing. Now we have a choice. And it's a choice between two paths, really. From the days of Adam until now, it's always been the same. Two paths. You have a choice to take the path of life, the good path, or to take the path of death, the bad path. In much of the stories in the Old Testament, if you go through the scriptures, much of the stories in the Hebrew Bible are connected to these two paths. It's about people choosing either one path or another. You might be familiar with the story of the people of Israel being delivered from Egypt, delivered from slavery in Egypt. When God delivered them from Egypt, you know, he turned everything that the Egyptians had done against the people of Israel against the Egyptians. God turned it all against them, and then he delivered them. And then when he delivered them, he gave them a promise. He was leading them to the promised land. But it was not only just the promise. He gave him the ability to attain it, the ability to walk toward that promise, not as a slave, but as someone who has freedom. The problem is that they had been in Egypt for so long, they have forgotten how to be free. They have forgotten how to think like a free person. And God, in his abundant love, he restored them their freedom. And freedom, at the center of freedom, it's that ability of you to choose the good path or the bad path. In restoring their freedom, God gave them the ability to choose against him. Because that's true freedom. What was God doing? He was giving them an ability to choose good. And he made it very doable and easy for them to choose the path of life. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verses 11 through 15, and then we're going to skip to verse 19. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it too far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will send to heaven for us and bring it to us that we might may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. What was God doing? He was saying, the choice is yours. You can choose against me, and you can choose for me. Why? Because I don't want slaves. I want sons, and I want daughters. But I'm going to put the cookies way down on the bottom shelf for you. I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to make it really easy for you to do what I have called you to do. But in this, we learn this, that we are active participants. We're not passive bystanders. We're active participants in this life. And just like the people of Israel, when God frees you from something that has enslaved you, he doesn't want you to simply be a better manager of that thing. He doesn't want you to be like somebody who's dealing with the trouble and is just a better manager of it. He wants you to be somebody who's walking in freedom, who has a freedom of mind, freedom of understanding, someone who God is leading from a mentality of slavery to a mentality of son, daughter, co-heir, participant. Amen. And this is what love does, because God's love is active. That's the first thing that I want to focus on today, that God's love is active. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is what John teaches us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. See, God's love is active. God's love transforms, and it shows us what it means to be a child of God. What John is teaching us here is very profound, because he's saying, as you pray, as you focus on Jesus, as you focus on God, as you focus on the goodness of God, the hope to be like him, and the hope to leave your past behind, and the hope to leave evil behind, and the hope to leave sin behind, and you look at him and you hope to be like him, you begin to purify yourself. You begin to let go of bad practices. You begin to let go of things that might be holding you back. And this is how you become a child of God. Not just by title, not just by concept, but in actuality, indeed. And how does this play out? This is how it plays out. In all those single daily choices that you have to sort through. In all those single one things that you have to do every single day. The sorting and the prioritizing that you do to see what is worthy of your action. When you become aware that you are an active participant, you realize this. That it matters whether you pray each day or not. It matters whatever action you take. It matters when you choose to be truthful, even though lying and deceiving is convenient. It matters when you are honoring of your parents, even though you feel like being critical, even though you feel like being harsh. It matters that you choose to do good, even though bad is convenient. It matters when you rise above the comfort of your couch, the comfort of your bed, the comfort of your home, your television, and you make a decision that you're going to take action, that you're going to do, make the sacrifices that are needed in order that you may have a healthy body, a healthy mind, and a healthy soul. And the reason why is because you can only do one thing at a time. Every one thing that you're deciding to do is a choice between one path or the other path. And that's not a deficiency. That's really a gift. We tend to think that lots of things are important at the same time. But the way God designed us was to sort out through those things. And for us to figure out what matters most at that any given moment. Because really, you can only do one thing at a time. Which means this, only one thing is important at any given time. Not several things, just one thing. At that moment, each day, what is God calling us to do? What is God calling you to do? What is He asking of you? How are you supposed to act? Should you act by the desires of the flesh, by your passions, by the things that you know you shouldn't do that are going to trap you? Or should you act by His love, by what He has done? See, those decisions matter. And John continues to teach us that it is by our actions that we not only choose the path, but we choose our allegiance. We really choose our Father by our actions, our spiritual Father. See, we're all children of God by creation, right? Just like you are a child of your father by biology, you might have chosen a different father figure, somebody else that could be a father image for you, a father person for you. But biologically, you're dad's child. The same thing with God. Like by creation, God made every single one of us. We are all children of God. But by our actions, we choose our spiritual father. This is what John teaches us, that the power is in our hands. We'll continue on 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. This is what he says. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. And whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. I mean, it's black and white, right? You can't coat that. You can't twist it. You can't, like, bend it. He's simply saying, if you act righteously, you're righteous. If you don't act righteously, you're not righteous. There is a weight to our actions. There is an importance to our actions. And they are not simply a mistake, right? We choose our allegiance. He uses a paternal figure here. It's really important. He says that we're choosing our spiritual father. Now, let me encourage the parents. You know, let me encourage you to teach 1 John 3 to your kids. It's really important that we have this context from an early age. It's important for kids to know that their choice matters. It's important for all of us to know that our choice matters. But, you know, we're not pre-programmed people with every action predetermined by our genetic code. You know, yes, you have talents. Yes, you have gifts. Yes, you have a personality that God has given you and an ability that is already in you. But behavior is taught. Actions are learned. Behavior is learned. It's within our hands. We have the power given by God to do whatever we do. It is always our choice. And the voice of the enemy, a strategy of the enemy, is always to come with a slavery mindset and say, you don't have a choice over this. You don't have power over this. That's how the mind gets trapped into bad habits, addictions, and things. It's when the enemy says, It's not your choice. You're pre-programmed to do this. No. You have been given the power. The power is within your hands to choose good or evil. The power is within your hands. This is a message of hope. This is a message of encouragement, because you can rise higher. You can overcome. You can see victory. You can walk away from every situation and become the person that God has called you to be. And He has empowered you not to be a slave, but to be a child, to be children of God, somebody who walks in freedom. And how do we choose? Simply by our actions. That's what John is telling us and teaching us here. There is a reason God designed you to do one thing at a time. Because at any given time, it's just one thing that you need to do. And you go through that process of elimination. It matters. If you practice sin on purpose, knowingly, even though you know you shouldn't do it, you're choosing your allegiance. You're choosing the path of sin, the path of death. But if you reject it and you begin to act like a child of God, then you'll begin to choose the path of life. And you will see the fruit of it. Now let me say this. God has gone through great lengths to make sure that you don't miss the path of life. He has done an amazing effort in to make sure that the path of life is available to every single one of us. He has made it really difficult for us to miss the path of life, the good path. First, He made each and every one of us in His image. Secondly, the scripture says that God wrote His law in our hearts, which means that deep inside, we know right from wrong. Deep inside, our hearts agree with God. Deep inside, everything that God has directed us to do, it falls at peace with our hearts. It's good for us. Then He raised the people. We see it throughout the Old Testament. He raised the people to show what kind of God He is, what kind of Father He is, so that He could bring everybody into the fold. The reason why God called the people of Israel wasn't just for exclusivity. It was actually for inclusivity. When the people of Israel left Egypt, a bunch of non-Israelites came with them, and that was fine. That was the goal of God all along, for people to come into His presence. Then He sent the prophets. The prophets that performed signs and wonders and showed His power into the world. Then He sent His own Son, not to condemn us, but to save us by His love, to show us the way. And after that, He chose among the broken a group of individuals to be the seed of the church, His disciples, who began a movement called, the church. And He established His church. That is His body, which has been going and growing for 2,000 years now. Here we are today, part of that movement, part of that city on a hill that shines God's light on earth. He came as the lion, as the lamb, so that people would be able to choose the path of life. All of that was driven by His love. All of that because His love is active. Now you may say, JD, I hear you, but what happens if after all that, after God has done all that for people, they still choose to steal, they still choose to kill, they still choose to destroy? What happens if after all that, they still make a choice for the bad path? Well, let me get to the second part of our message, the wrath of God. That's when His wrath comes in. Because God's wrath, this is something that we need to understand. God's wrath is not punishment out of His anger. God's wrath is righteousness. There is a holy anger in God against sin. But what happens is this. Everybody who knowingly submits to sin submits also to God's wrath. His wrath is not against His children. It's against sin and evil. And because of it, After all He has done, if you still reject His good news, the good path, there is a consequence to it. This is what we learn in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on earth will be exposed. See, Peter is writing with that imagery, right? It's a picture of justice. It's a picture of righteousness. And the picture is this, is that no evil deed done on earth will stay hidden. That's what he's teaching us and showing us, that nothing evil done on earth will stay hidden. And for some of you, this is good news, because you have been wronged. You've been injusticed. People have done you wrong. You've had gone through situations that were just not fair. And you don't have the ability, you don't have the power to make justice happen. You don't have the power to bring justice to that situation. Let me tell you, no evil deed will go unpunished. No evil deed will stay hidden from God. Now, he gives people a chance to repent. But there is a day of justice, because God's love is not complacent. We need to understand that. It's not passive. God is not in heaven doing, after all he's done, sending his son to die on the cross to save mankind. He's not in heaven singing Hakuna Matata. Right? Could you imagine God looking at all the stuff that's happening in the world, people choosing bad after bad after bad, the bad path, and he's going just like, it means no worry about a thing. That's a different song. Everything is going to be all right. All right, I don't know why my mind went there. You're excited about that, right? Anything that gets in the way of his love is not ignored. Now, if you're a father, you understand this. If you're a mother, you understand this. If you're a parent, you understand that when you're raising your kids, I love my kids with all my heart. I would die for my kids, and I'm sure that you feel the same way. But I don't come in with a passive love if they don't act like themselves. If something happens or somebody that influences them to act not like themselves, to act against their nature and act not like us, I'm not coming in going like, it's okay. Keep doing what you're doing. What matters is that I love you. You know, it's fine. It's okay that you took your sister's cookies even though you had two and she had none. It's okay. I love you. Get another one. You know, it's okay. It's fine that you yelled and you were disrespectful. Here, have a lollipop. A lot of candy in this illustration, guys. It's fine, you know. It's okay. What matters is that I love you. It's okay that you didn't do your homework on purpose, even though you were supposed to, because you wanted to play around. It's okay. Have some ice cream. It's fine. No, first of all, none of those examples are real. They're all fake, because I love you guys, but I love my children more, and I'm not going to expose them here, okay? But as a dad, if they act against their nature, if they act against what we know they're supposed to act, if it's not like us, immediately, hey, you're not acting like yourself. That's not who you are. Stop it. Hey, you're a Miller. It matters that you're a Miller. It's important that you're a Miller. Come on, somebody. Act like a Miller. All right? That's right. Act like a Miller. Millers don't do that. Millers don't do that kind of stuff. And it's the same thing for us. God feels the same way about us. Times a thousand. You know, you're a child of God. Don't act like that. You're a child of God. Don't act like that. God will constantly whisper and talk to us and say, hey, you're my child. That's not who you are. You're not a slave. You're not that kind of person. You're my child. And he'll give us direction again and again. So let me give you some practicals. What's your part? Really quickly. First, consider every decision. To which path does it lead? This is about action. Remember. You know, remember, you are an active participant. You're not a bystander. Number two, act like a child of God. not like a slave to sin. God's love has given you the power to rise above anything. If there's anything that has held you back in 2019, man, you can leave it right here, right now. You can put on His strength, put on His love, and just overcome it. Because He's made you a victor, not a victim. And you can do that in Him. So ask yourself, especially in those areas that you're not very happy about, those areas that you're not very satisfied about, am I acting like a child of God? Or am I acting in any other way? If you make that simple adjustment, you will see a big difference. And lastly, the third thing I want to encourage you with is this. Every single time, you can choose life. You can do it. It's within reach. In small decisions and in big decisions, you can choose the path that leads to life. God has given you the power to do so. If you don't know, if you stand before a decision and you don't know which way to go, just pray. Ask for wisdom. Meditate on the scriptures. Be connected to other people that will encourage you. But remember this, it's one decision at a time, and it's doable. It's within reach. Everything God asks you to do, you can do. It's always possible to you. Even if it's something impossible, the impossibility belongs to Him. He only asks you to do what you can. He only asks you to take a step that you can take. And if you do that, you will realize this, that both His love and His wrath will work in your favor. Both His love and His wrath will be a blessing to you. His love, because it's active in you, purifying you, transforming you. As your hope to be like Him, you're leaving things behind. And His wrath, because He is bringing down His righteousness and He's setting wrongs right. And He's making things right according to His righteousness. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen. Awesome.